are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program to put some money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. Let's do this thing. Steve Merrill will step up and in a couple of moments. That time we're going to run the gauntlet with Steve. We'll talk NFL football, recap the weekend. We'll take a look at the opening numbers. We've got some Super Bowl numbers. We've got some future numbers. We're going to crunch a lot of numbers with Steve Merrill. We're going to talk some basketball with Steve as well. Martin Luther King Day today. And we want to acknowledge the greatness of Martin Luther King, a great man. And, you know, a man that, you know, we could use a Martin Luther King right about now, but don't hold your breath. If you're waiting for Kim Kardashian, I don't know, Khloe's pregnant, you know, that's where we're at right now. The social impact of the world is now an Oprah speech at the Golden Globes to a bunch of coked up pervert Hollywood types. But I digress. Steve Merrill steps up in him. Chris Meaney joins us. Chris Meaney joins us in studio. So, yeah, Martin Luther King Day today. We got basketball going on all day long. And, you know, let me put it this way. Martin Luther King Day means more to an NBA player than it does an NHL player. Like, the Boston Bruins weren't in their room today. Man, we got to play hard. You know, we're going to win this game. It's Martin Luther King Day. We can't screw around today. You know, I don't think the Boston Bruins even know it's Martin Luther King Day. You know, NBA players, you know, it's a little bit different. They're into this. They're fired up. They've got the T-shirts on all weekend. And it's a big day in the association, man. It just is. Full slate of games. You got big games. All you need to know about the day is, who do they schedule to play today? The Golden State Warriors and the Cleveland Cavaliers, man. All right, so we got the Cavs and the Warriors on tap. Chris Paul returns to Los Angeles tonight for the first time, playing against the Clippers. Clippers without DeAndre Jordan, without Austin Rivers. Blake Griffin expected back, and Chris Paul. Of course, Harden's not there, but Chris Paul returns to L.A. Chris Paul says he expects to get booed. I wouldn't boo him. I wouldn't boo him. If I'm a Clipper fan, what are you going to boo him for? Guy was on your team for like 7-8 years. So what, was he disloyal? I mean, it wasn't working, guys. You needed to break it up. What are you going to boo him for? Like this, you know, I get it. I get booing certain people. Like, look, I'm a Bills fan. I think we should boo Rob Gronkowski. He's a cheap shot artist. Yeah, he tried to injure one of our players. You know, so forever, you know, you boo him. But the old, like, let's boo a guy because he used to play on this team. I don't know. Do you boo your ex-girlfriend if you see her on the street? Or you just keep on walking? Boo! Boo, you suck! You suck, man! Actually, it sounds like a pretty good idea, actually. I actually like it. It's like Seinfeld when he goes and he heckles the girl at work. He stands over her desk heckling her. I like it. Yeah, boo your ex-girlfriend if you ever see her. Boo! All right, so Chris Meaney's going to join us in studio. A lot to talk about with Chris. NHL hockey, we got Martin Luther King Day games going on right now. But like I said, I don't think the players know. But nevertheless, we have the Islanders and the Canadians on tap. So we've got a lot of sports to get to on the program today. We got football, we got basketball, college basketball. It's rare, man, that Kansas Jayhawks are getting points. I can't even remember last time Kansas were getting 6 points, like maybe against Kentucky in the championship game or something like that. But it's very rare. Kansas getting 6, 6.5 tonight against West Virginia. We've got something for everybody on the show today. College basketball, NBA basketball, NFL football, NBA DFS. We got it all, baby. We got it all, including who ruined your Sunday. Now, let's get right down to business. We're going to cut the small talk here. The Pittsburgh Steelers ruined my Sunday. That's who ruined my Sunday, and they probably ruined yours as well. Now, I wasn't locked in, and I thought, oh, it's for sure the Steelers are going to cover the number, but I did think they were going to win a damn football game, and I always say this, and I mean it. As somebody that's been betting for as long as I have and somebody that's seen the ups and downs in a roller coaster like I have, I accept losing wagers. You know, it happens. It's a game, okay? There's two teams. One team's going to win. One team's going to get a call. And, you know, it goes both ways. You can get screwed over, but you'll also find, you know, if you actually, because we all remember the losses more, but, you know, you look back and go, I really got lucky on that game. I had the Minnesota Vikings yesterday. -4. Did I get lucky? Yeah, I'd have to say so, right? but it's not any fun for me to sit here and tell you about how lucky I was. But what I can handle losing, what I can't handle losing is losing, like if a team doesn't try or a team is unprepared or a team does stupid things during the game. Then it bothers me, which, you know, clearly the Pittsburgh Steelers were all of the above. Maybe the Pittsburgh Steelers should have worried less about playing the New England Patriots next week and concerned on it, been more concerned on a team to beat them 30-9 earlier this year. And what makes me so mad about this game, and I had the Steelers in a parlay, man, with the Vikings. I had the Steelers on teasers, whatever. What makes me so mad about this game is they learned absolutely nothing from the 30-9 beatdown in week 5, did they? What did they learn? You know, the Jacksonville Jaguars have a ferocious defense, man. Like, these guys, like, they're, you know, they're over the top. Now, they commit infractions on every damn play. They hold you. They trip you. They poke you in the eye. They grab your face mask. But they're smart, and they know that the refs won't call it on every play. So, but the one weakness that the Jags have, you can run the football on the Jags. Right up the gut. You know, we saw LeSean McCoy popped a few. You know, all year long, that was the weakness of the Jags. So, of course, what did the Steelers do earlier in the year? They gave the ball to Le'Veon Bell 15 times. Ben Roethlisberger threw it like 53 times, and he got intercepted 5 times for 2 pick sixes. So what did everyone say all week, including myself? Well, you know, this time they're not going to do that, and Ben's not going to know. And, well, you know what? Shame on me, man, for assuming that Todd Haley's not a stupid idiot, all right? Maybe Haley should spend less time with his drunk wife getting kicked out of nightclubs in Pittsburgh and getting your pelvis shattered by bouncers. I don't know what happened, but I can tell you that he was in the wrong. I mean, basically, look, his wife is in an altercation in a bar on New Year's Eve. Todd Haley and his wife were both asked to leave the bar. And then Todd Haley was seen being pushed to the ground, and he screwed up his pelvis. Shattered it or whatever, fractured it. Now, no charges. The cops in Pittsburgh said, yeah, all of it's true. But no charges were charged. So what does that tell you? It was the bouncer probably pushed him out. Haley wants to be a head coach. Wants to be a head coach, man. The guy's getting blasted, getting kicked out of bars. And what I don't understand is, so the Jacksonville Jaguars, they score on the first drive. They score on the first drive. All right? 7-0, okay. Doesn't mean you throw the damn game plan out. So what do the Pittsburgh Steelers do? They open up with an empty back set. No Le'Veon Bell. They had him on, you know, spread out. Empty back set. What happens? Essentially a 3-and-out. Boom. 14-0. I tweet out at the time, all right, guys, it's only 14-0. Don't panic. Just run the ball. You know, slow things down a bit. You'll get back on track. No. What do? They start throwing the football again, an empty back set. Ben Roethlisberger happens again. Turnover, pick six, touchdown. Boom. Happens again. 21-0. Todd Haley wasn't smart enough to start running the ball until they were down 21-0. Then it was like, oh, we better give it to Le'Veon Bell. What's he do? 20-yard run on the first damn carry. Then he touches the ball. But he already loses 21-0. Like, the game was already lost. Like, Pittsburgh battled back and stuff, but the game was lost. But, you know, that's just Todd Haley. We haven't even gotten to Mike Tomlin yet. Now, Mike Tomlin... Now, Haley and Tomlin are basically dumb and dumber. Now, the fact that Mike Tomlin, I don't know how Mike Tomlin won a Super Bowl, to be honest with you. Like, I don't know how Mike Tomlin finds the damn stadium. Like, literally. Like, does he have a driver? Because I don't think he's smart enough to know where the stadium is. I mean, like, is there a dumber coach than Mike Tomlin? Like, Mike Tomlin, yeah, you won a Super Bowl, but if you actually analyze it, you've got a bunch of Hall of Famers on your team, man. Ben's a Hall of Famer. Antonio Brown's a Hall of Famer. Le'Veon Bell plays a couple more years, puts up big numbers. He's a Hall of Famer. You go down the list of Hall of Fame players that you've had on the roster, and the fact that you've only won once is actually kind of embarrassing, to be honest with you. You know, listen, he's a good motivator. The team clearly likes him. You know, I'm not saying he's a horrible coach, but what I'm saying is once the game starts, he's a moron. And it's been this way for years. Tomlin's been doing stupid things for years. You remember earlier this year against the Patriots and a big debacle at the end about did the play come in? Did Ben call it with the fake spike? And there's always something with these guys. Like, it's unacceptable. And it doesn't really matter because it's not like these clowns are going to outthink Belichick next week anyways. Pittsburgh only saved themselves the embarrassment of getting your ass handed to you by the Patriots again. And I don't know why I fall for this crap every year in the playoffs with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're incompetent. I mean, I don't even know where to start with Mike Tomlin. So we're all right, so Mike Tomlin doesn't call the plays on offense. That's on Haley. But it's not on Haley that Mike Tomlin decides to kick an onside kick. So after all this, you guys come back. You're only down 7. There's 2.5 minutes left. You got 2 timeouts and the 2-minute warning. And what do you do? What do you do? You go for an onside kick. Yeah, I guess why not? Because the Pittsburgh Steelers are so damn good at onside kicks. They haven't made an onside kick in 11 years. So basically, Mike Tomlin's never made an onside kick. 0 for 14. Did you see the onside kick? It squibbled like 3 yards and hit a Steeler. Like you thought, so basically instead of you kicking off and maybe Jacksonville getting nervous, oh, we're falling apart, maybe Jacksonville fumbling, maybe your defense getting a stop and then punting back to you with a minute left, minute and a half left, and you get the ball at midfield. No, you decide to roll the dice with 2.5 minutes left on an onside kick that was the worst freaking onside kick attempt that I've ever seen in my life. I've seen teams from the MAC do better onside kick attempts. You're 0 for 14. It's comical. Like, you know they're not going to fire him or anything. Tomlin's not going anywhere. If you're a Steeler fan, you're stuck with him. The only thing is, you're screwed, all right? Because if Mike Tomlin can't win with Ben Roethlisberger and Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, how do you think he's going to do with Landry Jones as his quarterback? Mike Tomlin is just one of many stooges that are NFL coaches whose success came 100,000,000% from their player. Simple as that. If Ben Roth, you know, as simple as that. You know, we see it. Jack Del Rio can't coach. Oh, Carr's out. We lose every week. Chuck Pagano. Oh, well, you expect me to actually win a game? Oh, you mean it's not acceptable to go 2-14 because my quarterback's out? Well, coach, I get that luck's good, but no, it's not acceptable. This is it. You know, just the level of mediocrity in the National Football League with these stooge-ass coaches. Like, Todd Haley, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. It's a fireable offense. You should be fired. Le'Veon Bell, why do you even want to play with these clowns? They don't give you the football anyways. The last 2 years, the Steelers, oh, you know, only if we had Le'Veon Bell. What difference does it make? You don't toll the bell anyways. It's like you really tried to lose the game, man. It's like George Costanza. You did the opposite of everything you should have did, but except it didn't work out. So I was on the Vikings. That was pretty cool. But you know what really ruined my Sunday as well? And, you know, the Steelers pissed me off. I get it back. It was the same thing. It was like the Falcons pissed me off. I get it back Saturday night. The Steelers upset me. I go really big on the Vikings and the over. I get it back. But then being a degenerate gambler that I am, I laid it down on a UFC and I did pretty well. But no, I didn't stop there. After the UFC, I can't stop gambling now. I was like a gambler, like a drunk. I couldn't leave the bar. I'm like, ooh, first round Australian Open. Now, one thing I know about John Isner, I know he sucks. Big bird ass, dumbass. Look at this guy. Look at this. He looks like a big, like, cupcake cream puff. Look at him. If I wanted to bet on sports in which people quit, I'd bet on the NBA. I didn't realize you could quit in a Grand Slam major event. There's Johnny Isner. Listen, Isner sucks. All he can do is serve. The thing with Isner is all of his matches always go 5 sets because he blows and he can't finish anybody. So who's he playing? Matthew Ebden, 700th ranked player in the world. Ooh, 700th ranked player in the world. Isner gets beaten 4 sets. I got a big play on over 43.5 games. John Isner ruined my Sunday. Like, I like to punch this guy in the face. I like to hit him over the head with a tennis racket. Like, I really would. Pretty big dude, though, but still. Look at him. He's a cupcake. Pansy. John Isner. You really blow Isner. Like, seriously, dude. You're an embarrassment to American tennis. You go all the way to Australia. You're like Bart Simpson. You should be kicked in the ass by, like, the Australian Prime Minister. You should get the boot. The golden boot. John Isner blows. Mike Tomlin blows. Todd Haley blows. You know what, Todd Haley? Why don't you just go on vacation to Australia and not come back? Who ruined your Sunday? Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Chris Meany will join us in studio in a couple of moments' time, and I assume he's going to be wearing some Eagles swag. You know, the thing about Meany is, though, he took $100 from me last week with the Buffalo Bills, and he told me, but I'm not, you know, it doesn't mean I'm going to give you an opportunity to bet on this Falcon-Eagle game because I don't really trust the Eagles enough. I would have done it. He could have got another $100 from me. But everyone knows when you gamble with a buddy and you pay the guy, like I did on the Monday after the game, I am owed a mulligan, and I'm going to force him into betting this game against the Vikings. I want retribution, and this is my chance with retribution. But I'm not a fan of the 3.5-point point spread, to be honest with you. So we've got some Super Bowl numbers right now of all the Super Bowl matchups. Let's bring Steve Merrill in. Steve, always a pleasure. How you doing?
Good, but I got to get on my soapbox before I forget, because when I do all my Friday shows later this week, it'll be kind of dated at that point. But what are your thoughts on this whole kicking the extra point thing in the NFL? I mean, they don't do it in college. I understand if the game's within maybe 2 points because you could block it and run it back, you got to make them attempt it. But what doesn't make sense to me, Gabe, is it's not a gambling thing. I don't think that's the reason, but I've always been told, you know, one of the 10th tiebreakers down the list is like points or victory margin. So, you know, it could come into play for like playoff seeding or something. But then why don't they kick it in overtime when you win by a touchdown? So that's why I'm a little confused.
I would force them to kick it no matter what.
But why isn't it consistent? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that was a disaster yesterday.
Well,
watching that.
Well, it was a disaster.
And it had a huge point spread implication, obviously, as you know.
Massive. Absolutely. And you know what was a real heartbreaker? That it took so long. And it's Steratore. And you know what? Gene Steratore does college basketball as well. Gene Steratore, I think he's doing the Super Bowl, Steve. I'm pretty sure he is. He's announced to be due to the Super Bowl. This guy, how the hell does he not know that the extra point has to be kicked? It wasn't overtime. They're still and he lets everyone run on the field. The Saints leave.
Well, no, I think
there's
they
photographers.
Knew. I don't think they could control it at that point.
No, Steratore was clueless.
I didn't realize that. That's even worse.
Steratore is under the hood looking to see if it's a touchdown, and it's chaos on the field.
Correct.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's his domain. He's in charge of the football field. It should have been, and another thing, it should have been a 15-yard penalty.
For throwing the helmet,
yes.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I completely forgot to mention
that. And it was same thing because the Jaguars, same thing, Steve. The Jags, when they intercepted the ball against the Bills, there wasn't really a pick. Can you imagine? Jalen Ramsey threw his helmet off after. Imagine if they said, all right, no interception, 15-yard penalty for throwing your helmet. It would have been Bills' ball like the 22-yard line. But they didn't call it. And I'm like, what are you guys, not calling penalties anymore because the guy celebrates? And it was the same thing. I get it. It was a big play. But Case Keenum ripped his helmet off. Diggs was flexing and doing crazy stuff in the end zone. The game wasn't over, Steve. Should have been a 15-yard penalty for delay of game.
Well, plus, he threw his helmet, which is actually kind of dangerous to do, to be honest. And, you know, that's a great point. I would have forgotten to bring that up because that's another thing that really teed me off. And the reason it teed me off is because I had New Orleans plus 5.5, as you can imagine. And had the Vikings wanted to run that in for two, they could have done it because the Saints had, like, their punter on the line of scrimmage. Nobody would have tried to stop them, and they would have won by 7. But if you call that penalty like they should have, then they can't run in the two, and they definitely take a knee. So, obviously, they did the right thing. They took a knee. But they could have easily run that in for two to win by 7. And, you know, you never know what teams might do. They might do it so they can spike the ball and celebrate more. And had that penalty been called like it should have, they would never be able to run it in from the 17 or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, if you really worry about gambling and point spreads like the NFL claims they do, they need to get a grip on this because that was a disaster yesterday. And you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars worldwide that were lying on that, waiting for the teams to come back and try to attempt that extra point.
I know I used to know a couple of big-time bookies, Steve, and the guy told me in a Tony Soprano voice, whenever you see a point spread 5, Gabby, don't take it. It's a crooked number. Whenever there's 5, 5.5, and it lands on that, of course. It was just strange, man. Well, look, there were 4 lead changes in the last 3 minutes. Strange football game, and it was all depending on when you bet it. So you were lucky. You had to sweat it out and see. And it's funny because a lot of people said after, too, oh, they weren't going to kick it. But like you said, Steve, you don't know. Every coach is different. You see, look, Mike Tomlin shouldn't have did an onside kick yesterday. He did. I mean, coaches do stupid things. They do different things. You never know what a coach is going to do. A coach might think, you know what, I'm nice and safe. Just plow it in with my fullback here. Exactly. You know, who knows what they'll do. You know, taking a knee was the smart thing to do at the time, but you never know, and it was a sweat job. And there were some people that had the Vikings minus 5.5 that, you know, were sweating that out. But that's why I always say you got to buy a half a point in those spots, though.
You know, I loaded the game early on covers, early in the week. It's the earliest I've loaded an NFL game all year because I knew who I liked. I had the Patriots over, and I thought that would go higher, which it did, and that was a sweat job as well. But I loaded them both early, and I got plus 4 on covers, so I actually got a loss there, even though nobody lost that game that played it because it was 5 on Saturday. It actually went up to 5.5 by Saturday afternoon, and you know 90% of the public probably played it Sunday when it was a solid 5.5. There were even briefly some sixes near kickoff. But, yeah, you could have been a win, loss, or push, depending on when you played it this week. The New England over-under goes over because of a 4th-and-9 touchdown late. And we once again, you know, the Pittsburgh game never really in doubt. That was the only one this week. But the Falcon game, if the Falcons score on that final play and they get the 2-point conversion, that line went from anywhere from 2.5 to 3 during the week. So, once again, we talked about it early last week. 3 of the 4 games both weeks have come very close now to being within a point of the spread or the total.
Yeah, very. Yeah, it's amazing. If you look at it too, the dogs just keep cashing. You know, depends on when you bet that Vikings game. So let's say the Saints covered, which they did at the 5.5, makes it 7-1 against the spread, Steve, the underdogs in the playoffs.
Yeah, most people probably played that when it was 5.5, so I think that's a fair assumption. And by the way, just one quick thing about those taunting penalties and everything. Was it the Jacksonville guy, number 50, that ran back the interception yesterday and pointed his finger? He got an unsportsmanlike.
Yeah.
And if he gets a second one, he's ejected. So basically, if you point at a guy twice in a game, you will be ejected. Now, that seems a little ridiculous to me. You're not touching anybody. You're not hurting anybody. Yet you can throw your helmet and it doesn't get called. Obviously, it should have been called. But you can do celebrations in the end zone. That's not a penalty. Why is pointing your finger when you're running into the end zone a penalty? I mean, how is that hurting anybody?
Well, Steve, how about this? Nick Lewis, who's the all-time CFL leading wide receiver, you know, he's a friend of the show. And on Twitter, he tweeted out yesterday, and this is a good one. You want to wonder about a rule. So, Steve, if that's a 15-yard penalty, right, for taunting. So the guy's running into the end zone. He points, he taunts, 15-yard penalty. If somebody was at the same spot and pushed somebody in the back, it would have been a touchdown. So why is it assessed after? And Nick Lewis, who's a wide receiver, no less, said, he goes, I've never understood that. He goes, why isn't it a 15-yard penalty from where he taunted? No touchdown.
That's a very good point.
You taunted. You're not in the end zone. That's a 15-yard penalty. That's a penalty.
And if you really want to stop people from doing that, that's how you make
it. Yeah, like what they don't even put it on the extra point. Oh, on the kickoff. Make it on the extra point at least.
Right, and every kickoff is a touchback now as well.
They put it on the kickoff. Every kicker can boot it into the 13th row today anyways. Like, well, it's stupid.
The only thing is if he gets a second one, he's ejected. I guess it's the only thing you could say. But, yeah, I like that. You're exactly right about that. If it's in the field of play, why is it a touchdown? That's an excellent point.
I don't know. The NFL, we could really go down a list of, like, I'd like to sit in a room with Goodell and, like, have 100 things. And why do you guys go to a commercial break after you come back? And why do you, like, you know, you'll see, Steve, too, there'll be, a disputed play. And everyone knows they're going to review it. They go to a commercial break. They come back, and then the referee announced we're going to review it. They did it on Saturday night, in which they waited, and it came back from the commercial break, and then Belichick dropped the flag right away. It was a clear indication that the NFL told him, wait until after the commercial break and then challenge it. Like, they're manipulating it to delay the games, and they wonder why ratings are down. It's just it's a Bush league, but you get thrilling moments every once in a while. So, Steve, I just saw this, actually. These just came out. So we got potential Super Bowl betting numbers for all the matchups right now. The one that people are thinking, the New England Patriots and Skoll, Patriots and Vikings is a pick 'em. Now, last week we said that the Vikings, we saw a number and the Vikings were -1 against the Pats. It's a pick 'em, but I believe, Steve, if this goes from hypothetical to reality, then the Pats will suddenly become 2.5, 3-point favorites. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it depends on how the Jacksonville game plays out. They're a solid 8.5, 9-point favorite right now. It's hard to imagine them losing that game. I mean, Jacksonville is a very good defensive underdog. We talked about it with Pittsburgh last week.
They match up well with them, Steve.
They do. They've got the better defense. You know, so you're getting a live dog there, but that's another cold weather game. Back-to-back weeks they have to travel. It just looks like a really bad spot for a young, inexperienced team. So you have to assume New England probably wins that game. And, yeah, I mean, unless Minnesota goes in and dominates Philly, which I don't think they'll do because Minnesota's not a real explosive team, they're going to probably be coming off of lackluster wins back-to-back weeks if they make it. So, yeah, I think New England goes favored. And here's what's fairly interesting to me, Gabe, is the advanced line right now is AFC minus three. And that doesn't make a lot of sense seeing how the Vikings are favored to beat Philly. Now, obviously, they could easily lose that game. They're a small favorite. And the Patriots would probably be like maybe a six-point favorite over, you know, Philadelphia. But minus three is interesting because if you do think Minnesota's going to get there, you know, getting plus three is higher than the line probably will be.
Good point. You're exactly right. And I see, you know, as far as futures are concerned, I do have the futures. So the Patriots are plus 105, Vikings are plus 187, Eagles are plus 700, Jags are plus 900. None of these futures are worth anything. You know what I mean? Like, why would you play 105 on a future if we know the Patriots are a pick 'em already against in the Super Bowl against the Vikings? And if you're playing the Jags at 9-1, you can just take the money line in this game against the Patriots and roll it over and make more. You know, the future bets are kind of sucker bets this year right now in the Final Four. But so looking at the numbers, so the Patriots and the Vikings would be a pick 'em. That's you know, you can bet that right now, actually. But the book doesn't pay us that has this number up, so I'm not going to mention it.
By the way, Gabe, I'm looking at a live book, maybe the biggest offshore one out there right now. They've got New England minus 2.5, minus 120,
yeah,
a bettable line right now.
Yeah,
so
that's
I'm not
more
sure.
Realistic.
I think you're right about that. I'm not sure it's going to be pick'em. And that never sat right with me when we were talking about that the other week.
No, I know, exactly. It sounds cute, but it, you know. All right, this is realistic, though. Vikings would be 6-point favorites over the Jaguars.
Yeah, I'm seeing minus 5 at this book.
I'm thinking, you know, it's funny because I would think like 7 just because it's at home. But you know what's amazing? The Eagles are underdogs against everybody.
Yeah, this book is showing Jacksonville minus 3 over Philly but plus 5 against Minnesota. That doesn't make a ton of sense to me if they beat the Patriots.
Yeah, and I see Jags minus 2.5 against the Eagles.
Yeah, that's
how about this one? Like, I'd bet this one all day. The Pats are minus 6.5 against the Eagles. Come on, man.
Yeah,
I'd lay that all day.
Yeah, and I just said 6 without seeing it. It is 6.5 is what I'm seeing as well, so I was pretty much close on that. Here's what's crazy about it, though. If Jacksonville gets there, that means they beat Pittsburgh and New England on the road as touchdown dogs.
They're winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. I think they probably do. I think they do win the Super Bowl at that point, unless New England has like 5 turnovers like Pittsburgh did in the regular season game, and it's some fluky thing. But Brady's not going to do that. That'd be a legitimate win.
Let me put it this way. I think Jacksonville would beat Philadelphia in the Super Bowl. But would Jacksonville beat Minnesota?
Yeah, I just remember they're factoring in home field when they're saying plus 5, I guess, because that's an 8-point difference between Minnesota and Philly.
How about this as well, sort of like the NBA? In a year in which the ratings have been down and the last 2 years ratings down, they can't have Jacksonville and Philadelphia in this Super Bowl.
Yeah, I know. You talk about the conspiracy theory.
They can't.
It's just Jacksonville in general.
Yeah, and you know, Philadelphia. Yeah.
I don't think the NFC team matters one way or
right.
the other.
Yeah, you know, but no, Minnesota playing at home is a better story.
That's true.
And you can sell tickets because I tell you what, Steve, if it's Philadelphia and Jacksonville, nobody's going besides Jags and Eagles fans.
It was 10 degrees yesterday with a minus 6 wind chill. You don't want to go hang out in Minnesota for the weekend?
No, like, you know, the rich fat cats and Beyonce and every, you know what I'm saying? Man, remember when they had it in Dallas, they bitched. It was outdoors and it snowed that week. And all the corporate people left their tickets. Like, they basically gave the tickets away and said, ah, we're not even going. Like the Super Bowl in Dallas didn't even sell out. It was, like, that bad. So they need the Vikings to sort of, you know, because otherwise America's going to do a reflective yawn, man. It is the Super Bowl, I get it. But ultimately, who do you think's going to be there? I'm going to go with Minnesota and New England.
Well, I think the worst possible bet you could make then would be a Philadelphia-Jacksonville money line parlay because one of those teams will not be there.
Either way, so it's...
For that reason. I mean, I think they want New England there, obviously, but you're right about Minnesota. I mean, I didn't think about it that way, being a home game. Yeah, that's probably the preferable NFC team as well.
Oh, yeah, they could sell that. They could sell that. And Patriots, it's going to be the Patriots and the Vikings. All right, so we got NBA right now, Warriors and the Cavs. The Cavs have been in a point spread free fall, Steve. 1-9 against the spread in their last 10 games. Warriors have beaten them 5 out of the last 6. Warriors are 7-1 to the over in their last 8. Cavs 4-2 to the over in their last 6. You know, the number just keeps climbing, man. And it was 230 last night, 231, and back down to 230. Suddenly, boom, 234 is on the board now.
Yeah, I mean, the NBA is all about motivation. We're in the midseason lull here. We're about halfway through. These teams have played around 40 games. Cleveland's played 45. Warriors have played 44. So we're a little bit past the halfway mark. And this is when you always have to start looking at injuries, motivation. And as you said, the Cavaliers just in terrible current form. They've covered once their 11 games, and they've only covered twice in their past 15 games overall. and now they're playing the best team in the league, who's playing good basketball. You know, back-to-back double-digit wins in Milwaukee and Toronto. And this is a spot where Cleveland has revenge. It's not sure they can do anything about it. They were only a 4-point dog on the road on Christmas Day and lost by 7. Now they're a bigger home dog in the rematch, like 3 weeks later.
I think the Warriors are going to beat them up. Big game tonight. Chris Paul goes back to Los Angeles for the first time. Takes on the Clippers. Blake Griffin's back. DeAndre Jordan's out. Austin Rivers is out. So it's essentially Lou Williams and the Blake Griffin show taking on the Houston Rockets, who don't have James Harden, but they haven't had him for about 3 weeks now, whatever it's been. And, you know, they struggled, but they're starting to get into a little bit of a groove now. Big game for Chris Paul tonight. I'm going back here.
Yeah, I've always said James Harden, one of the most overrated players in the league. I mean, he was only, you know, the third most important guy in Oklahoma City, basically, when he was there. And now, you know, second or third leading scorer every year in the league, but he plays zero defense, and I've always said that he's overrated, and they've now won 3 in a row straight up in ATS without him. Overall, they're 5-2 straight up their last 7. Now, they haven't exactly played murderer's row. They've only played one good team during that span, and they lost by 10 at home against Golden State. So this is a bit of a step up in class. The Clippers have not been great this year, but they're in good current form. 4 straight wins. They've won 8 of their last 10 outright. So it'll be interesting to see how these teams play, and they're both, you know, have not had their consistent lineups really in recent weeks.
Finally, in closing, college basketball tonight, we got Kansas and West Virginia. So West Virginia heavily hyped, playing great basketball so far this year, Steve. But I got to tell you, off the top of my head, I can't recall Kansas Jayhawks ever getting 6.5 points in a basketball game. Besides, I don't know, maybe in that title game like 6 years ago against Kentucky, they were like 4.5 points. Like, when are they dogs ever? They're never dogs, these guys.
Yeah, the line's been jumping around. I saw it as low as 4.5 overnight, went up to 6.5, 7 this morning. Now it's down to 5.5. So it looks like the betting public is confused as well. These teams played last year. They played twice. West Virginia did win that home game by 16 points, and Kansas was a 3.5-point dog in that. And then Kansas only won by 4 as a 5-point home favorite. So Kansas had trouble with them last year. Those games are pretty high-scoring, both of them.
All right, Steve, always a pleasure. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Gabe.
Steve Merrill with us. Chris Meany's going to join me in studio. Coming up next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We welcome Chris Meany into the studio. And for the third straight week, Chris joins us on a Monday to come in here and rain on my parade. So, of course, it was 3 weeks ago he came in and said, oh, congratulations on your Buffalo Bills, but you know they got no chance against Jacksonville, right? Which led to me losing $100. Last week he joined us, and I had to pay him the $100, so that sucked. His last appearance cost me $100. Now he sits down and he goes, hey, look, Boston just tied it. And I'm like, yes, I'm on Boston. I need this, yes. He's like, oh, sorry, it's just a highlight. It's like the third week in a row. You screw me, meaning coming into the studio here.
I know. I'm surprised that I was even invited to come on to the show today.
And what I, you know what, though? Here's a little poetic justice, though, and a little irony.
Yeah.
Is last week, because, yeah, we're going to get to this, too. I need a crack to get my money back soon.
Yeah, yeah.
But I said, you know, I'll get a crack back. And he go, well, it won't be this week against the Falcons. And the crazy thing is, I would have done it.
Yeah.
I would have done it. And you would have been sitting here right now getting another $100 from me.
I actually thought about that on Saturday. I said, damn, I probably should have jumped on that opportunity to have another bet with Gabe, because he probably would have taken the Falcons. Listen, I wouldn't have taken Atlanta. Like, I'm an Eagles guy, but I wouldn't have taken the Eagles at all. I mean, there was no reason for Atlanta to lose that football game yesterday. You knew what they were going – or Saturday. You knew what they were going to do. They ran the football, and they ran it right down their
throats.
You know
why they lost? Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan.
He played poorly.
Matt Ryan played poorly. Again, some weird play calling where they kept going back to Freeman and Tevin Coleman. The Eagles had no answer for Tevin Coleman. And Matt Ryan, again, and last year, this was a team that averaged 34 points per game over 19 games. They went into Philadelphia and they only scored 15 points. It was by far Matt Ryan's worst game. Completion percentage was under 50. The quarterback rating was around 52. And then again yesterday against the Eagles, or on Saturday against the Eagles, he just struggled. The pass rush didn't get there.
Did you see the stat? Matt Ryan's like 1 for 38, his last 38 attempts inside the 10-yard line or end zone to Julio Jones.
Yeah, I mean,
they're lost. They even go back to the old Tony Gonzalez days, dude.
Yeah.
They can never, I don't know, Matt Ryan is just a bad, he can't he doesn't have a lot of arm strength, so he doesn't zing it.
Yeah.
He always does the same thing. He rolls out to the right.
Well, that was such a weird play call on fourth and goal.
He balks himself against the line of scrimmage, and he throws it up.
Yeah.
And, you know, Julio Jones slipped and fell.
He fell.
But even if he didn't fall, I don't think they would have completed it.
Well, think about the points that they got off turnovers. If the Eagles don't put the ball on the ground four or five times, do they even score a point?
No.
I mean, it's crazy to think about.
So we got potential Super Bowl numbers. We blasted through them earlier. But your Eagles are underdogs against everybody. But nevertheless, Nick Foles or Case Keenum will be starting quarterback in the Super Bowl. So the Patriots versus the Eagles. This number feels a little low to me. What do you think the number would be if the Patriots played the Eagles in the Super Bowl? What do you think a fair number point spread?
52. Like, New England would probably score, I'd give them like 40 points.
Oh, really? So, no, I'm not talking about the over under, the point spread.
Oh, okay, the point spread. I think that if the Eagles win in the Super Bowl against the Patriots would be like 13.5 point favorites.
It's 6.5. 6.5. You can bet that right now. To me, that's like nothing's a stone cold lock.
Right.
But I would jump all over the Pats at under 7 points.
Yeah, for sure. You should.
One thing with the Patriots, though, they've never won a Super Bowl by more than 4.
Right. And, I mean,
Eagles versus the Jags. Jaguars are 2.5-point favorites.
Yeah. I mean, the Eagles are, like you said, I mean,
Vikings, 6-point favorites over the Jags. Anybody.
Vikings, 6, eh?
Yeah. Vikings, Patriots, pick them.
Pick 'em. I mean, I jump all over the Patriots. I mean, pick 'em.
Pick 'em. Yeah.
Wow.
And it's already moving at one space, one spot. It's moved to -1, 1.5 Patriots.
I'm surprised to hear that would be a pick 'em Minnesota, New England. Like,
no, it's not. Would be. It is.
It is.
It is. These are real numbers. You can bet them right now.
Okay, but things would change. I mean, if Minnesota goes into Philly,
but, you can bet these numbers right now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I would jump all over.
I'm not rich enough that I can start sprinkling on all these different numbers. But I got to tell you, the Patriots. Because I agree, I wouldn't. You know, honestly, I'd say the Patriots probably be 9.5-point favorites against Nick Foles and the Eagles.
Yeah.
Just because this book has it at 6.5 now doesn't mean, like, once Vegas gets it and it's
sure.
The hype builds up. Because the same thing. Listen, last week, books had it up. Minnesota Viking, New England Patriots Super Bowl odds. And the Vikings were -1.
Wow.
Which, even if these two teams play, the Patriots will close as -3-point favorites.
I guess I'm surprised to hear all that. But then on the same time, like, flip side is that game is going to be in Minnesota. So I understand. Like, I get it.
What do you think of the Minnesota Philadelphia? What do you think? As an Eagles fan, did you want to play the Saints or the Vikings?
No, I wanted to play the Vikings. Like, Minnesota's defense is really good. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's Case Keenum and Drew Brees, right? I mean, Keenum doesn't throw a touchdown yesterday without the fluke at the very end of that at that football game. He has one pick. He makes some mistakes. Minnesota defense is phenomenal at home. It's a little bit –
You're right. You know,
not
especially
the same on the road.
Dealing with the Saints after the big comeback would have been tough to deal with because they would have been on a roll.
Yeah,
you know?
And you're dealing with a more complete offense in Drew Brees and two running backs and another wide receiver.
The total is 38 in the Eagles game. They're expecting a real low-scoring game.
And I am, too. I'm expecting a very similar game to what the Eagles and the Falcons. I mean,
so was I. But
I can stop the run.
I was also expecting a low-scoring game in the Jags and the Steelers.
Yeah, sure. I was as well. But, I mean, I was certainly 100% with the Philly. Look at the Eagles. The only way that they could win these games is their defense. Now they've allowed only 62 points in their last 6 home games.
That's unbelievable.
And last year, much like, you know, going into and playing Atlanta this week, they had Atlanta last week. They had Atlanta last year. They played Minnesota last year as well in Philadelphia when the Vikings were 5-0. And they beat them. It was Bradford, and they didn't win because of Wentz. It was the same reason I said they didn't win last year against the Falcons because of Wentz. Wentz struggled. It was the defense. It's going to be it's two teams that are hard to run
against. I
got to
tell you, the Eagles
are
getting 3.5 points too. I think it's attractive. Once again, you know, the Eagles not getting a lot of respect from the odds maker. And I said it last week. I thought the game should have been a pick 'em, but I think this should be a pick 'em. All right, Chris will be breaking down the game, I'm sure, a lot throughout the week. NFL playoff challenge, fantasy. Jake Seeley sent out the invite, and I jumped in. Seemed to be like 66 of us or 68 of us.
Yeah, there's a few of us.
And I was in dead last, and I'm sure people are thinking, oh, look at Morenci's in dead last.
Yeah.
And I started to click on some of the people that were like, I'm like, oh, you got 180 points. I'm clicking.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, I'm like, I don't think you understand the format.
Yeah. Well, last year we talked about it.
A lot of people... There's different ways to approach this, but I got to tell you, I've been down this road, Chris. I play this for big money in these big cash fantasy playoff challenge leagues.
Yeah.
I've approached it in different ways. Mm-hmm. I'm sure some of you guys are thinking, no, no, I'll get these points, and then after I'll jump on this.
No.
You can't catch up, man.
Yeah.
When it gets to the Super Bowl and you got that times four, it's over the top, dude.
Yeah, I know. And I think we had similar teams last year. I had Atlanta and New England, and you're getting four times the points. So everybody that played for me yesterday, I had two times the points. I hardly had anything in the first game. I had all Patriots, and I had Saints. So I had a couple Saints, and then I got Jags. So this week, I'm screwed now because of New Orleans. But I'm going to get three times the points with Gronk, Lewis, Brady, Jags D. But I'll have to make some adjustments.
You know why I enjoy the playoff challenge? Because it's part betting, part fantasy. It really is.
Yeah, it is.
Because if you don't get the right teams.
Yeah, I'm with you with the strategy. So you went Vikings. Yeah, good on you. Yeah. So now you're going to.
Vikings, Patriots.
So now you're getting three times the points out of all these guys.
Yeah.
All of them.
See, like, people don't really realize when you in the NFL playoff challenge, you arrest the guys in the first week. They're like, oh, I don't want to play. No.
The first week.
You get double points.
Yeah.
Now this week, boom.
And if.
Triple.
And if the favorites win, you're going to win the pool. You're going to win the pool. If Minnesota and New England goes to the Super Bowl, you're going to win that pool.
Yeah, because it'll be impossible for someone to – yeah, even if you jump on Tom Brady after, whatever. I got him times 4 points.
You got everybody times 4 points.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way to do it, is to pick two teams and just hope
the cash prize is $10,000 payable by Jake Seeley, right? You're sending me a check, Jake.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Game Time Decisions continues. All right, we got a big night in the NBA this evening, Martin Luther King Day. It's been games going on all day, but we have some high-profile players and matchups. Of course, tune in on a daily basis on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network with the aforementioned Jake Seeley and Joe Pisapia and Chris Meany from 4 to 6 daily weekdays, talking DFS and more. Basically, they talk about how great Jake is, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Jake talks about how great he is.
Oh, that's what it's all about. Like, today he'll probably give props for him picking the Eagles, but when he made that pick, he's like, well, I'm just going to be different here.
You know what?
That's his reasoning for
me. I told everyone I put Corey Davis in the DraftKings lineup.
Nice. Yeah, solid.
We should almost roll the tape. Hey, Sean, back. My exact words were, Corey Davis hadn't scored a touchdown all year. He will score a touchdown in this game.
Yeah, he was money.
No, he was money.
Okay. You know, I don't know that much time. I put together about 25 lineups, and my last one was a Steelers contrarian. That was my best one. McDonald, Brown, Bell, and Ben.
Did you have any with Bortles? And
no, I didn't have any with Bortles, but I had 206 with just that Pittsburgh stack. Yeah.
All right, so DFS tonight, NBA. You have the Warriors and the Cavaliers.
Yeah.
The Warriors coming into this game relatively healthy. Everyone's playing, right? Curry,
yep.
Durant, Green, they're all playing.
Yeah.
The Cavaliers have been a train wreck, specifically on defense. From a betting perspective, 1-9 against the spread in their last 10 games. I think the Warriors beat them again tonight in a higher scoring game. But from a DFS standpoint, anybody catch your eye? I mean, LeBron a must play?
I mean, I think LeBron is, and it's tough to play LeBron lately because he hasn't been playing in those fourth quarters, and you have that fear of a blowout. But I think, you know, angry LeBron, I mean, that whole narrative. I would play LeBron and Curry. I mean, Curry's been the best fantasy player in January. Ever since he's been back, he's just been unbelievable. So those, and you mentioned the Cavs. I mean, man, they've given up 387 points in Isaiah Thomas's last three ball games.
Last three.
That's unbelievable.
I remember it was 100. That's even more than 124
game
now.
Yeah, 387. Like they've spent 17 of their last 20 days on the road. They've lost three straight. They've lost 8 of their last 9. They didn't even look like they were trying against the Raptors because they're already blown out in the first quarter. This is a team that is just – it's typical January with them. Remember last year? They were 500 in the second half of the season. This is – to me, I think that this spread is – at 5.5, I mean, I think the Warriors blow them out again. I really do. And this is the third time in a row they played on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and they beat them by a combined 69 points. They've crushed them.
Yeah, they've beat them
over the past
6 times.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think it's close.
Chris Paul returns to Los Angeles tonight. He says he expects to be booed. I was saying earlier, I don't know why you're going to boo him. I mean,
why would you boo him? It's not his fault they lost those games. I mean,
they needed to be broken up. It is what it is, right?
They were brutal before he got there, so they gave him some playoff games.
I know, but that's today's society. Boo!
Yeah, that's too bad. I mean, I look at that series that they played against the Spurs. I thought Paul was fantastic.
I brought it up. I said it's like booing your ex-girlfriend. Yeah. Would you boo if you see your ex-girlfriend on the street? Do you boo her?
And especially if it not if she was my only girlfriend or my first girlfriend in like 30 years. Like, no, I'd be like, hey, well,
yeah, it's okay. How you doing?
We had some good times. You brought me some good memories and move on.
All right. So does Chris Paul light it up tonight?
There's a chance. There's a chance he lights it up.
There's a lot of injuries tonight. So Austin Rivers out, DeAndre Jordan's out. So what do you do from a Clippers standpoint? Griffin's back, but
I do like Griffin from a fantasy standpoint. But I want to pay up for Curry and I want to pay up for LeBron. So it's hard to get Chris Paul in there. Juwan Evans is interesting. Juwan Evans is getting a lot of play lately. There's a lot of injuries you just talked about with the Clippers. Lou Williams is too expensive to spend up on.
What about Capella eating in the paint with no Jordan there?
Yeah. Yeah, so Jordan is questionable.
He's a
keep an
pricey,
eye on that.
Capella wasn't cheap. You
he
know?
Is. I'm looking at two centers. Capella is certainly one of them. And then Steven Adams is always just a safe center to play with the Thunder. He's got a safe floor out of all the Thunder guys that
Oklahoma
you go,
hosting
you go to.
Sacramento today.
Yeah, playing Sacramento. That's a really good matchup for them. The Kings are just they can't stop anybody defensively. So those would be my centers. If Jordan doesn't
play, is Westbrook
play,
the must play?
No, I would play. I would spend up for Curry. I would spend up for Curry and LeBron tonight.
I
really would.
I agree. All right. We got to get out of here. Check out Chris Meany right here on the Fantasy Sports Network talking NBA DFS. We'll come back with our plays of the day. What's up, everybody? Let's get right down to business. Time for my best bets of the day. Let's start off in the NBA. We got a big game tonight with the Warriors and the Cavaliers, although these two teams play each other all the time, so it's not quite as massive as it once was, at least for them. You know, they just played on Christmas Day as well, but Cleveland are in the midst of a 1-9 ATS slide right now. Golden State are just that good, and they seem to enjoy terrorizing people. We're going to lay 5 points. We'll buy the half a point from 5.5 to 5. Give me the 5 points with the Warriors. I like the total better when it was 230. It's up to 234 right now, but you can't bet the under of this game. Houston Rockets laying 4 points, going back. The return, Chris Paul. Rockets are going to beat the crap out of the Clippers tonight. I'm going to lay the 4 points with the Rockets, and we'll go over the number 228.5. NHL hockey, Montreal Canadiens. They're not playing great, but they're not sucking right now. It's a winnable game for them tonight on home ice against an Islander team that's kind of Islanders are giving up like 38 shots on goal a game, man. Give me the Canadiens minus 155. We're going to go under 6. I think the number's a little bit too high. College basketball, Maryland, Michigan, over 136. Love it. Duke, Miami, over 153. Love it. DePaul Marquette, over 157, and I know I'm going to lose this bet. Why am I doing this? But give me the Kansas Jayhawks plus 6 points. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.